الله الحمد لله الذي أكمل لنا الدين وأتم علينا النعمة وأمتنا ولله الحمد بعث فينا رسولا يتلو علينا آياته ويزكينا ويعلمنا الكتاب والحكمة ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. Respected Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam, I would first like to extend the opportunity to express my sincere gratitude to the committee of this congregation for having invited me to share some of my thoughts with you. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty who has perfected for us our deen Islam. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us favors in the form of the person of Prophet Muhammad, peace, may the peace and blessings of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. We have come with a perfect deen and we have established the perfect society in terms of the Madinite society. I want to link my khutbah, my sermon, to an understanding of the Madinite society and what notion of education the Madinite society propagated. I want to do that not because I want to tell you something new or I want to come with a new message. I want to do that specifically because I want to restate the educational agenda of the Quran and the Ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I want to look in the second khutbah at some of the implications of the Quranic epistemological or educational agenda for Muslims in the contemporary modern age. I have chosen a particular Quranic surah, Quranic chapter, in terms of which I will frame in the first part the theoretical understanding of education as it is enunciated in the Quran and the prophetic Sunnah. And that chapter of the Holy Quran is chapter 55, Surah Ar-Rahman. And I've chosen only the first four ayat of that particular surah in terms of which I will frame my theoretical understanding of education and its implications for a modern Muslim society. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an khalaqa al-insan 'allamahu al-bayan. Forget about the translation and I want to commence with looking at ayah 4 and move towards the first ayah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this specific ayah, the fourth one, where allamahu al-bayan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have taught you eloquence. I have taught you a procedure in terms of which you can articulate yourselves. The question that arises, what does that ayah have to do with education? Let me first make some comments about education by using a hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Addabani Rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi." My Rabb, Allah Almighty, made my adab, my ta'dib, most excellent. Now, if one looks at the word ta'dib in that sense, it is not tarbiyah or upbringing. It is not ta'lim or instruction, pedagogical instruction. It is ta'dib. And ta'dib is one of the important terms that is referred to encapsulate the notion of education. Whereas tarbiyah refers to upbringing, specifically to rear someone. And ta'aleem means to engage with someone pedagogically, to teach someone and the other person learns. Ta'adib is more comprehensive and ta'adib speaks about three dimensions of knowledge, construction and production. The one is the construction of the intellect, the aql. The second aspect is the construction of the body, the material self. And the inner dimension is the construction of the soul. And if I look at that understanding of ta'dib, it is really a notion of disciplining the mind, the body, and the soul to engage with practical realities. And therefore education is not just confined to schools, to established institutions like universities. Education is also a life experience. And education, and in most cases, is non-formal. So I use the word education to talk about lived experiences, embodied experiences of people. And when I look at the embodiment or the embodied experiences of people, and I look at the verse, the ayah, conceptually with embodied experiences of people, then the ayah specifically talks about having taught people, humanity, eloquence of speech. So the first rule, if I may say, the first constitutive meaning of education in this sense would be that human beings should be practical reasoners. They are people who develop a deep sense of intellectualism about what they do. They are people who reflect, as the Quran says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقَوْلِ. Do you not reflect and ponder over this message? أَفَلَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Do you not understand? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not use your intellect? So, the Quran's conceptual scheme is really linked about knowledge construction and about developing the mind. Is linked to the idea that Allah has taught us ayatum bayhinat, in other words, messages which are articulated, expressed in a clear, concise, succinct, orderly, logically sound way. And if we look at the whole basis of education in the Western world today in particular, the first principle of rationality is not a Western invention. It's not the works of Immanuel Kant or René Descartes, the French philosopher. It's the work of the Quran. The entire revelation of the Holy Quran was grounded in the notion of using the intellect and advocating messages of the Quran in a clear, perspicuous way, in an orderly, logically sound way. Which also means that the argumentation that has to occur amongst Muslims and non-Muslims has to occur along the lines of logical argumentation, debate and discourse. The second element which the Quran teaches us about education, about our lived experiences and how it should be and how it ought to be, is the very notion of what I call, when Allah uses the ayah, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. I'm working backwards. I have created insan. The very meaning of insan means to become forgetful, from the Arabic word nasiya, meaning to forget. So human beings have been made to forget, to err, not to be perfect. They have been created to struggle, to strive. And that's why the Quran says, وَعَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And you shall have nothing but you what you strive towards. People who embark upon this ijtahada, this jihad, they are people who embark upon a process, not of intellectualism, but a process of engagement with others. And human beings, through their striving and their forgetfulness, they embark on a process of conversational justice. So the second rule of education really is that people need to interact. People like yourselves. And I've heard such a lot about the Royal Holloway community, the mosque community. It's where the people of different cultures, different ethnicities, different languages, different perspectives, different persuasions, they have the willingness and the sincerity to engage. They critically engage with one another. They establish a form of conversational justice with one another. And that's the second rule of education. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always encouraged the Medina community to look at and embarking upon discourse, engaging others about the realities and truth of Islam. It was never that Islam was imposed on people, but Islam was negotiated with people dialogically. The Quran was not imposed upon people. The Quran was communicated to people, and the Quran convinced them. The Quran persuaded them. So the second rule of education is really to look at disseminating the message of the Quran and the prophetic seerah and the ahadith of the Prophet and the Sharia through conversational justice. The third dimension of this notion of education I'm developing and its implications for modern society, which I will look at in the second khutbah, is the notion of Ar-Rahman. It's not unusual that the Quran allocates one single chapter to Ar-Rahman, the merciful, the compassionate. It's not strange that every chapter in the Quran, except Surah Tawbah, begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, bearing the name of Allah, being merciful and compassionate. And therefore, any notion of ta'deeb, any notion, any understanding of education has to be linked not only to reason and rationality, not only to argumentation and debate and conversation, but also to cultivate compassion. And compassion is an understanding whereby we recognize the vulnerabilities of others who suffer, or others who experience a sense of injustice, or others through no fault of their own maybe, or others upon whom erroneous forms of power relationships are imposed, and people who encounter, who are exposed to such kinds of vulnerabilities, they need compassion. And therefore any community serious about this understanding of ta'adib or education is a community that cultivates compassion. Firstly, practical reasoning. Secondly, conversational justice. And thirdly, compassion. And if we look at this understanding of compassion in relation to reasoning, the intellect, and in relation to the purpose of humanity to engage with one another, then one can see that it is an understanding of education not separated or divorced from the very experiences of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where he established the Medina community. If you look at the very word Medina, why was Medina chosen? It comes from the Arabic root Dana, to enslave yourself, to submit yourself to the Divine Being, Allah Almighty. And when you submit yourself to the Divine Being, Allah Almighty, you begin to establish relations amongst people based on conversational justice, through reason and rationality, through clarity and understanding. But then you also develop a sense of compassion towards one another. And that's why the city of Medina became known as Medina. But strangely enough, if we look at the Arabic root of civilization, tamaddun, it emanates from Medina. And tamaddun, a civilized community, is a community that is whose practices are shaped in terms of reason and rationality, in terms of justice and conversation and dialogue, but also in terms of compassion. In the second part of the khutbah, inshallah, I will look at some of the implications of these three concepts for the modern Muslim community. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Kareem, wa nafa'na wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-hakim, wa taqabbala li wa minkum tilawatahu innahu huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, malikul barr ar-ra'ufur rahim. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ومن يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Respected Muslims, if I link my understanding of ta'deeb education to the previous khutbah you had on criticizing the onslaught of the Western powers, the Allied forces, the coalition on the Iraqi people, then I want to make three comments. In the first instance, any power that does not exercise practical, logical arguments in defense of embarking upon a war cannot do so. And that is why we uncategorically say that the war against people in Iraq, the war against Muslims all over the world, xenophobia is an unjustified argument. It cannot be defended in terms of rationality, practical reasoning and argumentation. I do not agree with Samuel Huntington when he talks about the clash of civilizations in his book. Samuel Huntington has to my mind, a distorted understanding of what the clash of civilization means. It's not a clash of civilizations. It's not even a conflict. It's a challenge that is being projected on the part of the West towards Muslims. And what the Muslims need to bear in mind is not to become hysterical and emotive about what is happening to them, but it is to reflect back and to ponder, to use their reasoning, to try and understand what did we do to deserve this, and what can be done in order to avoid this. And that is, to me, a far greater battle than becoming emotive and embarking upon slogans by vociferously expressing your anger. The best form of anger that Muslims can actually project and exhibit is through the anger of persuasion and argumentation. We will always be perceived by many as radicals, as fundamentals, and sometimes we are unfairly criticized as terrorists. But that's not an argument that we are going to win if we are not going to embark upon repelling such unfounded arguments through our own rational agenda of persuasion and argumentation. And that is why it is important for us as Muslims and as students and as elders to persist with the agenda of the Prophet, peace be upon him, initiated within the realm of Islamic society and discourse. And that is the discourse of conversational justice, of debate, of argumentation, of persuasion. And that has to take another form through our publications, through our internet, and through our serious attempts, not only to clarify about what Islam means, but sometimes we don't have to do that, but sometimes we have to enact to live out our Islam. It's not always convincing to say, I'm a Muslim, and your actions do not portray Islam. Because sometimes you can say nothing, but your experiences, your life experiences, exhibit what you, your Islam stands for, concomitantly with your identity as a Muslim. The last point, and that's a lesson that the West can learn from us, and that is that our educational agenda is that of compassion. So fine, the Allied forces have now conquered Iraq, like they've done with Afghanistan, like the Russians did in Chechnya, like it was done in Bosnia before, like the Romans have done, like the Greek Stoics have done, like the Spartans and Athenians have done. But they all vanished. They all perished. You know why? Because they seldom had compassion. They seldom had a feeling for the vulnerability of the poor, those who suffer from hunger, famine and drought, genocide, ravaged by civil wars. And that's going to be the defeat of the Allied forces, because they don't have a sense of compassion. So what is the lesson for us as Muslims? That irrespective in what powerful position we are, we all must always have compassion for one another, compassion for our brothers and sisters, And the kind of compassion that we have should be a compassion that is expressed in a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُخِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُخِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. You are not a worthy, a true believer if you don't wish for your brother or your sister what you actually wish for yourself. And that kind of compassion is the compassion which the surah, the whole surah of Ar-Rahman is talking about. And it's a kind of compassion which is embedded in verses of the Quran speaking about revelation, the eschatology, life after death, and about the development of a society. And that is why chapter Ar-Rahman was one of the first chapters revealed during the Makkah period of the Prophet. Because it was a surah that was revealed at the time where Islam was at the lowest, and where the persecution of Muslims has been very profound. So let us inshallah take some lessons from this particular surah of the Holy Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide your ambitious efforts towards nurturing and cultivating the Muslim community in this part of London. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give you influential and inspirational people that I don't have to mention their names, who can offer you leadership, in particular amongst the youth of you, so that you can really become standard bearers of Islam, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ingrain your efforts, inshaAllah, with rationality, understanding, with conversational justice, inshaAllah, and with rahmah and compassion. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you to become agents of a critical, not only Muslim community, of a critical community that will embark upon justice, and that a community that will steer clear of ill-doing, wrong and injustice. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. O Allah Almighty, give us spouses and offspring who will be the comfort of our eyes, and make us all foremost amongst those who are steadfast to Allah Almighty. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. عباد الله، إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروا على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيموا الصلاة.